Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
During His earthly ministry, Jesus preached truth, timeless, eternal, unchanging, applicable to our lives even today. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study the preaching of Jesus Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and Happy New Year from all of us at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. The message of Jesus Christ is timeless, it's eternal, and it is so important for our lives today. In fact, understanding what Jesus preached during His brief earthly ministry is a great way to start the new year. And so, these days together, we are discovering the preaching of Christ and what mattered to Jesus and why it should matter to us. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. If you'd like more information about our ministry or this broadcast, or if you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your computer or iPod, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 verses 1 through 8 as we consider Christ's preaching on prophecy, a timeless message that is very applicable to today. Later this month we will study an entire series on prophecy entitled Times Are Changing that begins on the 13th of January. But today let's find out what Jesus Christ had to say in His prophetic preaching.
I don't think I need to go much further. You have a television, you watch the news, you heard about the children across America who were shot while they were out trick-or-treating. Everywhere we look, we see the signs of a society that morally and spiritually is on the decline. And because iniquity is abounding, notice the effect it has on even God's people. It says, "The love of many shall wax cold." People who should love righteousness, people who should stand up for what is right, their love just kind of waxes cold. And they kind of grow complacent and say, hey, whatever happens, happens, as long as it doesn't affect me. And I want you to understand that in these last days, disorderliness and ungodliness seems to be very prevalent. And may I say this morning that the passing of Proposition 8 is not about discrimination. It is about honoring God and His Word. Ms. Feinstein was on the television this week saying we don't want to have discrimination. What we need to be more worried about is what the Word of God says and standing by what God has blessed in this great nation. You see, disorderliness will abound. But notice, thirdly, Jesus says destruction will follow. Now, verse 15 is interesting. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now keep that little phrase, abomination of desolation. We're going to study that in just a moment. The Bible says that ultimately the Antichrist will come to power and he will establish himself as an object of worship. First, the Antichrist will be revered in the world. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, he will have power and signs and lying wonders, and people will be enamored with him. And I believe that many people today who follow the New Age Christs, who have strong globalistic philosophies, I mean people who live in our neighborhoods and in our state, right now, if there was such a person on the scene who would offer a one-world government and a one-world solution to our economic problems and to our problems concerning disease and all of the problems concerning health in the world, there are many people right now who would, yea, abandon their national pride and gladly vote for such a person to be their leader. That one world, we are the world philosophy has been taught to many of you since you were little children in school. And this idea that there would be a man who could solve all the world's problems is something the Bible speaks about. But then also, the Antichrist will promise this peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so we see the Antichrist is revered in the world, and the Antichrist promises peace. But notice thirdly, the Antichrist will demand worship. Something happens in the middle of the tribulation period that is unbelievable. This popular person that the world has come to love and admire and follow suddenly demands that he is worshiped in the temple. And that is what verse 15 speaks about when it speaks about the abomination of desolation. And the Bible says concerning this matter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's a turning away from the truth. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Suddenly the Antichrist will demand worship, and suddenly there will come upon the earth a tremendous time of trial and persecution like the world has never known. And so the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, there will be an expansion of false religion. Be careful of the deceivers. Be careful of the many antichrists who will prepare the way for the antichrist who will establish himself as an object of worship. An expansion of false religion will precede the time of the coming of the Lord. Notice secondly this morning, there will be an escalation of fearful events. I can imagine the disciples listening to Jesus. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's talking about antichrists. He's talking about deception. He's talking about someone who demands that they are worshiped in the temple. I can imagine the disciples looking at themselves saying, no way, this is unbelievable. But Jesus speaks on, and he says in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Notice verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows, commonly known as the first half of the tribulation, the beginning of the sorrows. But I believe, again, the aligning of these particular events could be taking place even now in this age in which we live. What are some of the fearful events Jesus speaks about? First, he says there will be a rise in international conflict. Nation will rise against nation, verse 6 says. People group against people group. We have seen this with Croatia and Bosnia. We have seen it in Africa. Some of you are familiar with the Second Congo War, or what is sometimes called the Great African War. From 1998 to 2003, this particular war brought more bloodshed in Africa than any other war. In fact, by 2008, the ultimate aftermath of this had cost the lives of 5.4 million people. Nation rising up against nation. Just yesterday, the Associated Press reported Tutsi-led rebels tightened their hold on newly seized swaths of eastern Congo Saturday, forcing tens of thousands of frightened, rain-soaked civilians out of makeshift refugee camps. You see, we sit here in America, and if it's not like the bombing of New York, it doesn't really bother us a whole lot that millions or hundreds of thousands of people's lives are being taken. But the Lord Jesus said that this would be indicative of the last time, nation against nation. Then he said, kingdom against kingdom there in verse number 7. And we think about those particular words or those particular nations, Iraq, Afghanistan, Venezuela with Mr. Chavez, and North Korea, Russia invading Georgia. We think of Israel and her neighbors constantly in battle and difficulty, and Pakistan and India rattling swords one against another. Jesus said there will be a rise in the international conflicts that the world faces. Secondly, there will be a recurrence of natural disasters. Notice that in verse 7. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. Jesus said there will be famines. Some studies indicate that there are nearly 1 billion hungry people across the world today, and that every day almost 16,000 children die from hunger-related causes in the world in which we live today. Not only will there be famine, but Jesus said there will be pestilences, that is, plagues that are likely to cause death. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8 spoke about the pale horse whose name was Death that rode across the earth during the tribulation period. And then Jesus said there would be earthquakes. And time does not permit to mention many of the recent earthquakes. And in places that we're not accustomed to hearing about earthquakes. Even yesterday in Dallas, Texas, a small earthquake. And this past spring in China, one earthquake took the lives of 75,000 people. The press was so rushed to report about the coming Olympics, they somewhat brushed over the fact that 75,000 people's lives were taken in that quake. And then the underground quake that caused the tsunami in Indonesia and Thailand. And we see more and more the signs of what Jesus said in the world in which we live. But then thirdly, and I think perhaps most significantly, there will be the renewal of anti-Semitism in the world. In other words, in the last days, more and more people will hate Israel. Now, please remember something. Jesus teaches here that Israel will be in the focus in the last days. God said to Abraham, I'm going to love those that love you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. God is very sensitive towards his people. But we see here in the Word of God that anti-Semitism will rise. Notice verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse number 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Israel will face affliction. Jesus said Israel will be hated of all the nations. What's interesting to me about this prophecy is the fact that Israel just became a nation back in 1948. They had their land restored unto them. And some of us were too young to remember that. We weren't living at the time. But some of these prophecies were hard for a Bible student in 1910 to understand, because there was no Israel to hate per se. There had been a dispersion of Jews around the world. But in 1948, there was the accommodating and the ability of the children of Israel to come back to the land. And of course, their Arab neighbors have hated that, and they have fought for the West Bank, and they have fought for various portions of the land ever since. But we see Jesus said there is going to be a hatred towards Israel in the last days. They will face potential annihilation. Now, at the beginning of or right before the tribulation, the Antichrist will make a peace treaty and seemingly bring peace for Israel and the rest of the world. And by the way, every time you hear about the Middle East or Israel or Palestinian situations, please bear in mind God spoke about it first in His Word. And let it be a reminder to you that you are living in the last times. And the Bible speaks in Daniel 9:27 about the peace treaty that will be made by the Antichrist. But something's going to happen at the middle of the tribulation that is very significant. In Ezekiel 38, the Bible says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Meshech is an ancient word for Moscow. And here we see a prophecy given in Ezekiel 38. It says, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army and horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands. Gomer speaks of Germany. Ezekiel 38 prophesies that Russia will lead, this is Gog and Magog, Russia will lead an invasion into Israel. And they will be accompanied by Persia or modern day Iran. Now, friends, this morning as we sit in this auditorium, Russia has a hunger for greater power and for greater influence in this world. We saw that in their recent invasion of their neighboring country, Georgia. Of the 255 million Russians, 55 million of them are of Arabic descent. There is no small love loss for the children of Israel in the place called Russia. But then you combine Russia's desire for power, oil, and prominence with Iran's jihadist attitude towards Israel. And the president of Iran stating repeatedly, he will settle for nothing less than the annihilation of Israel. And you begin to realize that this is a feisty League of Nations indeed, spoken of in Ezekiel 38. And the Bible says God will put hooks in their jaws and bring them down on Israel. There will be an escalation of fearful events in the last days, leading to the great battle against Israel. Now, I know this has been a little sobering to think about this morning, but the disciples asked in verse 3, Lord, what are the signs of your coming and what's going to happen at the end of the world? And Jesus said there will be the expansion of false religion culminated by the acceptance of an antichrist. There will be the escalation of fearful events, including pestilence, famine, earthquake, and war. But then I want you to notice finally the good news this morning, the expectancy of our faithful Savior. The expectancy of our faithful Savior. You see, the fact is that in Matthew 24, we not only read about the great tribulation, but we read about that event at the end of the tribulation called the second coming of Jesus Christ. Dr. George Sweeting, the former president of Moody Bible Institute years ago, said, "For every prophecy on the first coming of Christ, there are eight on the second coming of Christ." Now remember Mary and Joseph as they traveled to Bethlehem? Remember Jesus as he was laid in Bethlehem's manger? We have a picture of that. But eight times more than the Bible speaks of that, it speaks about when Jesus comes the second time. The season of his coming is found in verse 29. Notice what it says. Immediately after the tribulation, remember the wars and the famines we spoke about. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, we're not here today to name the date when Jesus comes. And listen very carefully. If you ever hear somebody try to name the date, they probably are a false teacher. The Bible says in verse number 36, but of the day and hour knoweth no man. No one knows the exact date of the second coming. But we do know that it will be at the end of the tribulation. The Bible says in Luke 21, 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Notice then the scene at his coming. We see the season, but what will the scene be like? Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus Christ will return with power. I want you to remember that. Revelation 19, 20 says, the beast was taken with the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. When Jesus comes, he's coming with great power, and he will take that antichrist and he will cast him into a lake of fire. And he's coming, secondly, with great glory. No one's going to have to look up and say, who is that? Everyone's going to know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one we've been putting down in our college classes. That's the one we've been putting down in our ecumenical services. That's the one we make fun of, and that's the one whose preachers we think are weird. That's the one who they said died on the cross and rose again. Nobody is going to wonder who that is when the second coming takes place. You see, this is the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor Chappell, you mean the same little baby that was placed in Bethlehem's manger and the same wonderful Son of God who taught love and joy and peace and salvation and lived on this earth? Yes. and the same one that went before Pontius Pilate and there at that mock trial was found guilty and was beat with that cat of nine tails and then was placed on the old rugged cross and the nails pierced through his hands and his feet and his royal red blood came flowing down. The one who died on the cross for your sin and mine and the one who rose again. And do you remember after Jesus arose, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, his disciples were there staring into the heavens and an angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Do you understand? The same Jesus that died on that old rugged cross, that same Jesus is going to come back in that same way. The way he ascended up in the clouds is the way he is coming back again. Except this time he's not coming like a little baby in the manger. This time the Bible says he's coming with his vesture dipped in blood. That is, he will judge all of those who have denied his existence. And he will judge all of those who have persecuted his children. And he will make all of the wrongs right. My friend, Jesus is coming again. And this world needs to be warned. And our loved ones need to know they don't need to go through the time of tribulation. They can receive Christ and be saved from the wrath to come. The second coming of Christ is the culmination of the great tribulation. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Now someone says, "Why? I just don't know about all this." Well, I want you to look at one more verse. Matthew 24:35. Look at what it says. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Let's say that together. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, fellas, I'm telling you, it's coming. I'm telling you a time of tribulation is coming, a time of persecution upon you as Jews and upon our people is coming. And there will be an Antichrist who will want worship. He'll pretend to be the friend of Israel until he breaks that treaty. These times are coming. And by the way, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. What I'm telling you, you can mark it down. You can take it to the bank, but do better than that. Put it in your heart. This is going to happen." Now, why would Jesus tell his disciples how the world would end? Well, because they asked, yes. But I believe it's so that they might be ready, so that they might live their life with the end in view. And friend, today, the Bible does say that we in this age of grace, this church age, we can be saved from the wrath to come. God does not intend for us to be left behind. God wants every one of us to turn to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. And if you're here today and you say, "I don't know if I'd go up to be with the Lord at the rapture or if I'd be left behind. I don't know if I'd live through that tribulation. It doesn't sound like I want to." Then friend, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ today and you can trust him as your Savior and you can leave this place today knowing that you have been saved from the wrath to come. And then if you are saved, if you do know the Lord is in your heart, let me challenge you. Don't be deceived, but ask the Lord to help you to start growing as a Christian. Maybe get involved in one of the adult classes or some discipleship times one-on-one with someone who can help you get grounded, because there will be false prophets and false Christs abounding in these upcoming days. And it is now time for God's people to know what the Bible says and to discern the times, because the days are evil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open the Bible and listen to the message of Jesus Christ concerning the last days. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be wise and discerning concerning what you have foretold. We may not understand every single aspect, Lord, but it's obvious that you were preparing hearts for a coming time of spiritual compromise and national calamities around the world. So, Lord, help us to be prepared. Help us to know you as our Savior.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Considering the Preaching of Christ. We're starting a new year by rediscovering what was Jesus' central message, what did he preach about in his brief earthly ministry, and why is it important for us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives. If you would like to hear this entire message or any of the recent broadcasts from Daily in the Word, we do invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to contact us. You'll also find a link to subscribe to a complimentary daily devotion from Dr. Chapel that can arrive in your email box each and every day. You can also subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your iPod or computer, or refer it to a friend who maybe does not live in an area where our program is broadcast. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us. And we're easy to contact, toll-free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.